Well, friends, nice to be here again and to share God's word. And please turn to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. We are working our way through this great book of Daniel. And it must be said, the first six chapters are easier than the second six chapters, 7 to 12. Chapters 1 to 6 are personal. Chapters 7 to 12 are prophetical. And there are those who are happy enough with reading and preaching the first six chapters, and after that they might just give up. And that's a big mistake, because it's out of the deepest and the darkest minds that the greatest treasure is to be found. There are 1,189 chapters in the Bible. Some are easier than others. That doesn't mean to say that we just select the easy ones and forget those that are more difficult, that have to be left to the scholars and those who know their Greek and Hebrew and so on. But the whole Word of God is for the whole people of God. And so as I have worked my way through these chapters, they are rich. And really, chapter 7 is chapter 2 in greater detail. Those four great kingdoms, Babylon, Medes and Persians, Greece, Rome, that are mentioned briefly in chapter 2. It's really the same kingdoms we're talking about here in chapter 7 onwards in greater detail. It's like mentioning a subject and you give it in the general terms, and then you then begin to be more specific and detailed. And that's all these chapters are about. But let's read verses 1 to 14, half the chapter. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another, or different one from another. The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second, like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a man speaking great things. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horns spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near unto him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. So we can see there, as in Daniel chapter 2, the four kingdoms that were going to be established on earth, each for a short time. But the stone that was cut out without hands, that was supernatural in its origin, would come and smash all those kingdoms and would grow in the earth, and that is the kingdom of God. And you can see that here, that these powerful nations, and they were powerful, each one of them was powerful, each one of them was savage in its own way. Each of them slaughtered many people. But as we've read, they had their dominion taken away, but given unto him, the Son of Man, was given a dominion that is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. And that is what encourages us this morning. But I'm going ahead of myself a wee bit. I've entitled this chapter, The Future According to Daniel. Daniel is in his bed. He's having a dream. That's how the Lord communicated in those days, through dreams. Pharaoh had a dream. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. Pharaoh had a Joseph to interpret his dream. Nebuchadnezzar had a Daniel to interpret his dream. That's how God communicated. Hebrews tells us that God, who at various times spoke unto us in times past through his prophets, and he used different ways, and one of the ways he used dreams. Well, we don't depend so much upon dreams now. But what is history to us, an ancient history, was future to Daniel, was around 850 years of future to Daniel. And the first thing that I want us to see is the events upon earth. What was going on in life? What was going on the earth? And this covers, these four kingdoms cover about 850 years, about 625 BC to 476 AD. And of course, right in the middle of that, Jesus was born and lived and died and established his kingdom on the earth. Verses 4 and 5, we have Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar. I'll just read the verses again. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. So there you see the strength of Babylon. It was like a lion, and you see its swiftness. It had eagle's wings. And you can see the salvation of its king. Do you remember chapter 4 records the testimony of Nebuchadnezzar? He was made to stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. You see in verse 5, Medo-Persia, and behold another beast, a second, like to a bear. And it raised up itself on one side. So you can see its superiority. And it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. It's hard to imagine what these beasts were like. To me, they were just plain ugly. Nothing attractive about them at all. And we don't need to really go into all the detail as to what they meant. The three ribs may represent three leaders. And we see its savagery as well. Between the teeth of it, and they said, thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. In verse 6 we see Greece. After this I beheld and lo another like a leopard. And again you can see the swiftness and the skill like a leopard. Again, more about two of these kingdoms in chapter 8 when we come back in a fortnight's time. Like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The swiftness of Greece, it conquered so quickly, as chapter 8 will tell us. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. And that's talking about its succession. And after Alexander the Great died at only 33 years of age, we'll find it out next week, Greece fragmented into four kingdoms, four succeeding kingdoms, and that's what it's being talked about here. So Daniel is intrigued with these beasts. Verses 7 and 8 is then the rise of the Roman Empire. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and exceedingly strong. It had great iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces and stamped the residue with its feet. It was diverse. It was different from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. And there's been some ink spilt about the identification of these 10 horns. I remember years ago in the 70s, listening to speakers about the common market and the European Economic Community and so on. And this is what this was, but I think we can dismiss that really. And there were, and so it talks about 10 horns, and this seems to focus Daniel's attention. He says, I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn. There before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things or pompous things. This little horn is the most dangerous of all the horns. This little horn. We stopped at verse 14. Verse 19 says, "Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured broken pieces and stamped the residue with his feet." He wants to know more about this horn. Verse 20, "And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spoke very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows, or whose appearance was greater than his fellows." This horn was a little horn, but it had a big mouth. We're talking about people here in these horns. We're talking about leaders. We're talking about dictators. But this little horn, he was something else. A little horn with a big mouth. He said great things. He said pompous things. Verse 25 says, "And he shall speak great words against the Most High." He doesn't care what he says against God. "And shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and a times and the dividing of time." So whatever length of time that is, a time and times and the dividing of time, to me it's just a limited period of time that God has for this individual. He said great things. He did great things. Verse 21 says, "I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them." So what's the identity of this horn, of this little horn? There have been various suggestions. There is the character that we'll meet in the next chapter, Antiochus, the fourth Epiphanes, not mentioned by name, but he's certainly implied. Alexander the Great is not mentioned by name in the Bible, but he's certainly implied. And Antiochus is taken up again in chapter 11 of Daniel. Others have identified this little horn as maybe not an individual, but a system. The persecuting Caesars of Rome, maybe. Some have seen very clearly the papacy. And you can see the papacy here to a certain extent. Others, the Antichrist. There have been many. There are many Antichrists in the world. John says that there are many Antichrists. And even though down through history there are a succession of Antichrists, there's going to be a final one. Maybe that final one will be a Pope of Rome. But there's going to be a final Antichrist who will have influence in the world, who will lead people away from the truth of God. Here's what American Dale Ralph Davis says. In my view, the one Daniel calls the little horn here in chapter 7 is the one Paul calls the man of lawlessness in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And whom John would call the Antichrist in 1 John chapter 2. Jesus will handle him. As it says in 1 or 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Jesus will handle him, but before the final conflict of suffering, even now across the world, various little horn types mash and mangle Jesus' people. So Daniel chapter 7 could well be the first reference to Antichrist in the Bible. So this is going on. This is life on earth. These are the events upon earth. Kingdoms are rising up, defeating other kingdoms. We're talking here about four kingdoms in a time period of 850 years that finished 1500 years ago, 476 AD. But look at the would-be kingdom since. Even last century, we've had Nazi Germany who sought to make a name for themselves. We have communist Russia, China, still a force in the world. These are horns with leaders. And if we just kept our eyes on the earth, there would be that which discourages us. And these horns are seeking to destroy God's people, as we have read here. But as well as seeing the events upon earth, we see in this chapter the encouragement from heaven. What's going on in heaven as these things are continuing on earth? Verses 9 and 10 says, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit. This is one of the names for God. And in total contrast to the description of the four beasts, which are ugly to me, unattractive, here's something that is beautiful to me, very appealing to me. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit. You see, these earthly kingdoms have their thrones. Whoever sits on them will only sit for a while. And he'll grow old and die and be replaced and so on. And their thrones will be no more. But God is still on the throne. The Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment, look how beautiful all this is, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. When I read that reminds me of Ezekiel chapter 1 and the great vision that Ezekiel had of the wheels and so on, where Ezekiel saw the glory of the Lord. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands. I think you're into the millions there, if you want to do your sums. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000. How many is that? How can we calculate such a number as that? Stood before him, the judgment was set, and the books were opened. What does that remind you of? What other chapter of the Bible does that remind you of? And the books were opened. But Revelation and chapter 20, where we have a similar picture. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great. These horns are there too. These little horns are here too, that seek to speak great things against God. They're here. Everybody's here. Everybody who's ever lived is here. The dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Anybody lost at sea? Never found? Submarines that never surfaced. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. It's a powerful thing to think that those who died without Christ and they're in hell, it's not the final hell, it's only the intermediate state that they're in. Because that hell is yet to come before the judgment seat, and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. There'll be worse again. This is the second death. And whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Solemn verses, and yet we have shadows of it as early on as Daniel chapter 7. The books were opened, it tells us. And the Lord will judge these four kingdoms with all their arrogant leaders and rulers. And that's the way it is right down through history until Jesus comes again. This is the encouragement from heaven. But the picture goes on. This is God on the throne, verses 9 and 10. But in verses 13 and 14 we have Christ. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days. And they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. You know what we have here? This is what happened after Jesus ascended into heaven. Whenever you read in the Gospels and the next chapter 1 of the Lord Jesus ascending into heaven, Whenever you read those verses, turn back to Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, and you can see what happened when he got there. Among the last words that Jesus said to his disciples were, "All power is given unto me, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth." He holds the authority. It's not some wee little horn running about, making a name for himself for a few years, until he's removed and another little horn comes in his place. This is the encouragement from heaven. While there's a lot of uncertainty going on earth, and at the moment the news is focused on the border of Russia and Ukraine, what's going to happen there? And if Russia invade Ukraine, will others get involved? Will Britain get involved? Will America get involved? Will there be another war? Oh, let's look to heaven. That's where our encouragement is. Jesus is on the throne. One like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. Isn't that how he went up? Acts chapter 1 says. He ascended in the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days. In his incarnation, he came from the Ancient of Days. In his ascension, he goes to the Ancient of Days. And they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations and languages should serve him. There's the spread of the gospel for them to do that. To be told of Jesus.